I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is July 7th, 2025. We will stand for Pledge of Allegiance and then please remain standing. We'll be led in prayer by Glenn Eckert from the Delta Church of Christ.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Heavenly Father, as the council meeting is ready to start, I ask that you be with every one of the councils as they make decisions about this community of Delta. And being people of different backgrounds with different ideas that probably see the needs of the community differently, but they have the same goal to improve Delta. So I ask to give them the wisdom to do the right decisions to make things better in Delta. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Have the attendance, please.
Dawson.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Frank.
Here.
Dyer.
Here.
Evelyn.
Here.
Adams.
Here.
Before we approve the agenda, I'd like to make an amendment to add an executive session to the end of today's meeting for economic development.
Pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 121.22G8, to consider confidential information related to the specific business strategy, trade secrets for an applicant for economic development. And I would also point out for the record that Mayor Neighbor is not here today, just for purposes of the record.
Duly noted, thank you. I have a motion for the amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Dyer?
Yes.
Zemeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
The approval of the amended agenda. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes. Need approval of the minutes from our June 16th meeting, regular council meeting.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Demline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Are there any members of the public that wish to address council at this time? Please step up. Kyle, correct?
Yes.
Kyle Corners, Runwood Avenue. I just had a couple of quick questions. The first one was kind of in the past, you know, ongoing issue with all the needs of the water department. If we applied or looked for any grants to cover some of the infrastructure upgrades that have to happen,
we have, and that was actually one of the driving forces for the income study that was canvassed for. The village needed, yep. So that was, we've applied for several grants. Do we have a status on any of those, administrator, that we've put in for?
None that I'm currently aware of.
In regards to the subdivision development, has there been any analysis done to determine how much the village would gain from that in terms of additional income tax and whatnot?
Yes.
What's that?
Not by us, but by the property owners.
What's the number?
I don't have it in front of me. Is that?
I mean, by way of income tax, I'm not sure. We've had the analysis done by way of the TIF property tax and the repayment of the bonds and all that. I'm not sure that there's any income tax analysis. Certainly none that I'm aware of from the village's perspective.
Right.
So what happens if it doesn't, you know, right now I've been listening to the minutes for every meeting, and every time this comes up, it seems like it's kind of a build it and they will come sort of thing. Like, we're sure there's such a need for housing in Fulton County, which at the moment I believe. But if something happens and that doesn't come to fruition, and we fund part of the
no, no, council
development costs, who
No, council and the mayor have made it strictly clear that not one nickel will be coming from this village to fund that project.
But the TIF pays for it.
TIF is involved in the analysis, but that's not village money.
How is it not?
It never comes into our budget. Do you understand how the TIF works?
No, I got it, but the way it's been that I've understood so far is the village is on the hook for the money to fund the infrastructure part for the water lines and sewer lines for this new thing, and the TIF pays for it. So I get what you're saying, we're not counting on it, it's not coming into the village, but who is actually paying for that?
So that's actually being handled via conduit financing, which is basically we are the conduit financer. In other words, we're selling a bond to someone who is financing that project. So there is an entity that is willing to foot that bill for that company, for that project. And the village is acting as a tax entity.
We're still selling the bond. At some level, we're exposed in some level on that.
Not as a conduit financer, no.
So the guy that we sell the bond to, if something goes wrong with the development, he's the one that needs all that.
So the way the conduit financing works is that the company that is doing the construction takes the full liability. If anything happens, there's written into that contract they will offload property or assets to cover any shortfall of that. The village is not responsible for any of that debt or service. Once we're just acting as a tax advantaged lender to the company, but we are not liable for anything. That liability is built into that conduit financing through their property and I think the word escapes me.
Service fees.
Yes.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better. I guess my last question is, what is the feeling of why we need to be giving tax abatements anyway? Like, I get it, there's a shortage of houses in the marketplace, and the taxes in Fulton County are, 25, 30% less for residential just by crossing the county line. Why do we feel we need to sweeten the pot any, especially since it hurts the school district on the back end?
The school would have to approve any abatements.
Yeah, I know, but why should they have to?
It's just Ohio revised code.
No. Why should we put them in that position? Like, I understand if we go over 75%, they have to approve, but why would we put them in that position?
Well, if somebody comes to our village and they apply for a building permit and they apply for an abatement, you are required to give it to them by Ohio revised code.
Why would we have that? So why do we still have that open for that? Like, if there's such a great market need for it, why do we have to give them an abatement? It sounds like they'd come anyway. Like, if there were houses available to buy, wouldn't they? It sounds like they'd be lining up to buy them. Why would we have to, like, give up, the village is in such need of increased revenue, why wouldn't we give up anything?
You're talking about commercial or residential?
Residential. Like, you guys have changed the map a time or two already. Like, why don't we omit the residential from it?
Yeah.
I don't see a reason to, personally. It's just a personal thing. I'm just one person.
That's fine. It's just like when I hear, I've been told from this council before, like, I don't like development just from the general idea of, growing a rural community too big. But like I've been told, we need this development to pay for our infrastructure. And we're talking about putting a levy on the ballot to pay for the most basic of village services, picking up garbage. Like, why would we give up potential income tax, well, not income tax, but property tax of the village, like, when we don't have to, at least not now.
So I'm going to just interject slightly that it's not the most basic of services being put on the ballot is trash pickup, and I would like to get that clarified. It is solely for the universal trash pickup that the village extends.
Yes, I understand that, but, when we're, that's...
It's a service that we brought in recently that cost the village $20,000 that is not... Trash pickup and sanitation is taken care of through the village's budget. That is something that is already paid for. This is an extra service the village provides. Now, if the village had extra income revenue and we were in the surplus, in the black, as it were, the village would love to continue to pay for that.
That's fine, and I'm not, I'll vote no anyway because I'm sick of paying taxes, but my point is, why do we have the tax revenue if we don't have to? Like, we were fighting with 10 other developments in Fulton County, trying to get people to buy houses here, okay, fine, great, whatever, but I don't think we're in that position right now, so why give up tax revenue we don't need to?
I guess that's the debate of it. Would these builders come and build these properties if these properties weren't abated? I mean, as people who have come into this village and bought tax abatements, I'm not one of them, but I believe there are members of this council that have, and I've been villagers who have said that they've chosen properties because of the tax abatement. Now, the differences between a pre and a post CRA are drastically different. We've shrunken the map on the pre-1994 CRA to avoid that 100%. But yes, abatements are a good draw for the community. That we will be working with the school board, and they're still going to be receiving their funds, and it helps progress the community's development. And I get that you're personally against the growth of the development.
They're losing 75% of their right?
So they get first cut, basically, out of everything that comes out of that. They're getting the bulk share of that, out of the 25 that's being kept, or the 20 or the 15 or whatever is negotiated with the school board. So they are still receiving funds during the abatement period.
Oh, I understand that. It's not what they would have been given if it wasn't abated, though, right?
Correct, but that's also assuming that these would sell unabated, which there is no guarantee that these would sell unabated. So you're saying, well, it's going to sell no matter what, it's going to sell no matter what. I don't believe that houses sell no matter what. I don't believe you're drawing people to this community no matter what. Delta has good opportunities, but not unlimited. We're a small village. And we do desire to bring people in. We are desiring to grow at a healthy and sustainable rate so that we can continue to develop the community. But just as saying that, oh, they're going to build it and we're going to sell these 100 houses no matter what, I don't think that's true.
Guess we'll see.
Thanks, anybody else? Moving on to correspondence.
Unless council has any correspondence that has been brought to them, there has not been any correspondence that has been brought to me or any other members of staff.
Okay. So on the reports and updates, you're still on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Reifenegger. So in my report, so the sidewalk improvement program, the deadline was this past Thursday, by the end of business hours. Officially, we had 9 applicants apply for the program. So this week, Mr. Tedro and I have agreed on a date to review the applicants, and we're going to basically go around the village and take a look at each of the applications that were presented and determine which ones we feel should go for funding and which ones should not. And once we have determined which application should be funded, then I plan on reaching out to a concrete contractor to see how much it'll be for each sidewalk to be improved. So we've had quite a bit of IT service going around the village here. Our IT support has been working to upgrade computers across the village. They began here at Village Hall last week. The purpose of these upgrades are to swap out computers that were identified that currently run on Microsoft Windows 10. And as of October of this year, Windows 10 will no longer be supported by Microsoft. So we are kind of, in a sense, mandated to upgrade some of our computers that cannot upgrade to Windows 11. So we identified 8 different computers across the village that need to be updated, and so far we've had all of the computers here at Village Hall that need to be upgraded. So now there are 2 at the wastewater facility and 2 at the water facility. At least that's from what I was told. That could be potentially, there may be a little construed, but either way, there was 8 computers that need to be updated, and 4 of them have been updated so far. So in addition, the village had also have been reviewing proposals for new business phones for our village employees as well, because according to what I've been told by our IT support, our phones currently can no longer be updated. So they still work as of right now, but they cannot be updated anymore. So we're kind of at a point where we either got to decide how we want to go forward with our phones. So that's been one of my items that I've been looking to do as we speak. Last week, Chief Chappell, Ms. Taft, Ms. Allwood, and I all participated in a training course for the Civic Plus software that has been used to develop and create our new website. Our goal is to have the website presented to you by our next council meeting and potentially have our new website be available for public use by August 1st. There's just another aspect of training that we need to conduct and make sure that we have the website ready to go as we hope to have it ready. But I think council will be pleased with what we have and what we will present to the public. So lastly, the zoning board will be meeting on Wednesday, July 9th. They have a zoning variance that was submitted to them that they had initially reviewed at the last meeting but ended up tabling. And so they're going to be reviewing that variance again to confirm whether they want to decide if they want to confirm or accept that variance or not. So.
Will that new website have like updated ordinances, resolutions? Will that constantly have that updated?
So as of right now, we would still have to update those ordinances and resolutions. But if you're asking if we could potentially provide like copies of these new ordinances that we approve of, that is something that we could certainly look into and do. A few of the aspects that we are actually looking to have that's going to be different is, so we'll be able to provide agendas to the public, meaning have those agendas really updated to the website for people to review. Potentially have the minutes and the audio provided as well. We've also been looking at configuring some of our applications to where rather than having to where we could potentially go as far as having them be filled out on the website or even just a PDF fill-in. So we are pretty excited about what we have so far, and we're hoping that one of my goals is to try to get people more familiar with and being able to use our website more, so that way it kind of frees up some of the time that staff uses currently answering questions or between phone calls and emails. So, and actually one of the bigger aspects that we could do is we could basically make it to where on our website, I just experimented with this recently, you'll be able to go on to IntelliPay and be able to pay your water bill and sewer bill on our IntelliPay page and do it within two or three clicks.
So
yeah, my goal is to have that presented to you guys at our next meeting so that way you guys can have a first look at what our website's going to look like.
I have a question. At the last meeting, we voted on Resolution 14-2025 for an increase on the property and liability insurance with the Ohio plan. And I had asked if the 2025 budget covered that increase, and you said you were going to look into it?
Yes, I did. I have not gotten an answer that you were looking for at this time. I do apologize. I will make another note to look into that.
Anything else?
Nope, that was the end of my report.
Assistant Finance Director.
I'll ask for approval of the invoices.
Your motion to approve the invoices. I'll make a motion to approve the invoices.
I'll second it. Marlena, did you get me the check register for that $11,000? I sent you an email today.
Oh, I didn't see the email. No.
Okay. in my package, it did not include, it included the other two reports, but not the check register for that last $11,000. If I could please have a copy of that.
I got a question. What's this $61,000 for Highland?
That is the liability insurance payment.
Yeah, that was part of the resolution 14-2025 that you guys approved.
What's the duration? What's that payment cover? Is that half or a full year?
That's
full year. Or it's full year.
Okay. And what's our rebate if we don't make any claims? It's 5%.
We did a 19% discount and an additional 1% since the police used the Lexapol. And that's like a, we earned that because we've been a member of them for a lot of years.
There a second to approve the invoices?
I seconded it.
It was Lynn. Lynn seconded it.
Roll call, please.
Demeline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Gossett?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shine?
Yes.
Mr. Even, Law Director?
I have nothing, sir. Thank you.
Eve?
Good evening. So we're getting ready for Chicken Fest, making sure everything's ready. We should have some pretty good stuff at our booth. We're inviting some of our other partners and groups we've partnered with this year to sit at our booth with us. We have 10 individual firearms, safes and locks, like the safes for firearms we got from Stored Safe that we're gonna be giving away. So depending on how many people need them and want them, it might just be a raffle. But we have some individual safes and helmets that we're giving away for kids. We have Safety Village next week, I believe it's on Tuesday. Or Monday, actually, we're going to be giving a presentation to the kids in Safety Village and handing out helmets to every kid that's in Safety Village. We start with the street department, moving some of the signs and taking down some of the signs for the school zone. The Corporation Limit one is getting moved north to H Taylor. It was further south. It was actually not at the Corporation Limit. So that one's getting moved along with some of the other signs in the school zone. Those are in the process of getting moved. Waiting on a few more signs to come in. Our grant for that, the application was submitted in June. He said it'd be about a 2 to 3 month wait till we hear back if it got accepted, and then probably a 6 month lead if we did get it to get the materials. We have, earlier in the year, we asked for a grant from ODNR. We received a grant from them. So August 16th, we're doing Cops and Bobbers at the Sportsman Club, 10 to 12:30. It's an outdoor event for kids in Fulton County. We're gonna have fishing. ODNR is gonna provide a like a BB gun range as well as archery lanes and stuff to expose kids to being outdoors and different outdoor activities. We have that paid through a grant with ODNR. Walmart donated, and Mr. Heben's law firm is donating lunch to us, and another club donated money as well. And I believe the Sheriff's Department and maybe a couple other departments in Fulton County are gonna join us in that event. That's August 16th. If anybody needs to sign up, we put out a link on our Facebook page. We'll have a sign up at our booth during Chicken Fest. You can call and sign up that way as well. We haven't quite sure the number we're going to limit it to. We're going to see what the response is, but it should be somewhere around 30 that we'll limit it to. I think that's it. Yes, that's all I got.
Just so council's aware, we the police requested filet mignon.
No wagyu?
I'll be there.
Shoot for the moon.
You can hold this credit card for 30 days. Any subcommittees?
I do have an update from Village Services. In regards to the sewer rate study that we've been putting in for, it's about a $25,000 study. On July 2nd, we did have further correspondence. They've requested more information. We've continued to provide it. It does appear that we're going to be getting that study. We expect to hear back from them in another 2 to 3 weeks with further information requests. But it does appear that we're going to be at least more than likely to get that. So,
good. Anybody else?
I have something. Chris, I had sent you an email back in June, I want to say, asking for numbers with encumbrances for the budget, for the 2025 budget. And I still haven't gotten that. We talked Sunday about it. Can I ask where that stands and when I'm going to get it?
So after our previous conversation we had this past Saturday, I went and I reviewed the Excel sheet that you gave me. I have it being reviewed right now by one of my staff right now to make sure that what you have is correct. So I have made it, so I have let them know that I have asked to have it be reviewed and have it be confirmed. So I am hoping to get it to you soon. But I don't have a definitive time of when you're going to receive it. So, I have requested to have it be reviewed as an oversight.
Thank you.
Any other committees? All right, moving on to old business. Ordinance 19-2025 is tabled.
Yes, right now it'll have to continue being tabled. So an update with the ordinance right now on the establishment of the Public Utilities Department. I have created some new positions that were requested by both council and by the mayor and by my water superintendent. Those positions have been drafted. However, I am still reviewing some of the other positions that are going to be a part of this department as well. And the mayor has requested that this be on the agenda for the next meeting on July 21st.
Is it your expectation that we will have job descriptions to review before that time?
Well, at the very least, the mayor has requested that those job descriptions be reviewed at the meeting on the 21st. I spoke with him earlier today. He had said that the more that I had available for you to review, the better. But at the very least, I'm looking to get those job descriptions reviewed and have those be brought to you for review as well. And then depending on where the situation sits right now, if we're still on the basis of some of the employees being redlined, I mean, that is something that I could start continuing to review on where some of the other pay scales are for other municipalities that are within similar population size of us, and potentially have maybe the finance committee review and see where our pay scale sits compared to other communities. However, I will say what is interesting right now is the fact that because we are kind of splitting our Public Utilities Department into two different factions, it's been difficult to find any communities of our size that do that. From what I've gathered so far, they usually just have utility employees, or they just have water employees that also do wastewater as well, and just do the water collection or do the wastewater collection and water distribution along with their jobs. So they kind of bounce back and forth between being operators and distribution and collection. So
is that not what we're headed towards? Am I misunderstanding?
From what I have been told is that the Public Utilities Department wants to have two different subsections, one being collection and distribution and another being operators.
I thought they were all going to be the same.
It was my understanding that these positions were basically, we were combining the departments to, as described as other municipalities do.
Yes.
But we were looking to introduce a basically entry-level position into that.
And I have created what's basically would be considered like an operator in training or even just an employee in training. And right now my prediction is that we should base that pay scale based on kind of what we do with our seasonal employees, just because if I'm looking at an employee, if they've had no experience working in it and say they've just gotten out of high school, that would be a pretty decent pay rate to give to an employee like that.
So I guess my question is, and because I want to get this done, I want to get these departments combined, I want to get the pay scales updated, I want to get our employees taken care of, I want this to not be dragged into our discussions for the financial budget discussions for 2026. So the responsibilities of the two departments have not, of wastewater and water, have not changed in terms of what needs to be accomplished on a day-to-day basis.
Correct.
We have basically taken the water treatment employees and added the wastewater treatment employees' duties to their job descriptions.
Yes, that was what we initially discussed, was adding those additional responsibilities onto their responsibilities already.
Okay. So I guess my question is why has this not basically been a deck shuffle and put all the cards together? I guess I'm not understanding where the delay has come in between the discussions that the mayor, you, the water treatment supervisor have all had. If we know what the job duties are, we know what needs to be accomplished already, I don't understand what the delay is in the drafting of these job descriptions and why we're trying to do it different than
what's already been laid out.
I guess I'm lost and I missed a step somewhere apparently of what we were trying to accomplish.
No, you did not miss a step anywhere. It's so I will admit to council there have been a few aspects that have caused this to be delayed. Number one has just been in my ability to manage the time to really find the time to work on these job descriptions, because in my day-to-day job I have phone calls, emails, people coming in, and sometimes time slips away and I find myself working on these at times after hours, and trying to basically keep work-life balance is easier said than done in a position like mine. And I understand that's not an excuse, but I will say that when I do find the time to try and work on it, and I do try to work on it, other things start to creep in all of a sudden and it starts to deflect my attention away. So yes, it is a bit of time management that has been on my part.
Okay.
Another aspect to these is, so one of the big issues that I've been finding with my position, or I've been finding with these job descriptions, is this. It's been trying to figure out how much certification some of these employees need for their positions, because as you know, with our wastewater treatment plant, we need to have employees that are certified that can be operator of record. And with Mr. Ambrosia, his contract actually expiring this month, he is no longer going to be on site unless we really need him. And in fact, when I spoke to him, he agreed that he would only come on site unless we really needed him. But he had told me that for health reasons, he could not be working as our ORC for as many hours as we had contracted with him initially. So we have been trying to figure out a way to figure out how we can comply with our ORC requirements in our wastewater plant, while also making sure that the employees that we have here are being certified to work in both plants, essentially. Or really just trying to figure out, you know, if that's the direction we want to go, is do we want employees being trained but also being certified in both water and wastewater operations, or do we want to, again, combine those departments but split them off into main responsibilities of, okay, so you're mainly going to be working on wastewater, you're mainly going to be working on water. So that, and in addition, it's also been kind of playing into, again, the pay rate as well, because as we have been discussing, you know, we have, while the 7% would increase some of the employees and whatnot, redline them based on what we currently have. I've also been trying to learn and understand our pay scale as well, because when I came into the village, I was under the impression that our pay rate for our water and wastewater employees also included their bonus, or not bonus, but their pay increases they received for their training. But when I had discovered that their pay rates were actually their base rate and that didn't include their pay scale, well, I was trying to figure out the pay scale that that included their pay rates, or if that's what we wanted to do. So it's been a challenge, but also trying to figure out, but also trying to put together job descriptions that that outline entirely the work and responsibilities that they, that these employees would have. So
I guess from my standpoint, is where we've gotten in this conversation is we need to know villages or entities of our size that run single water, wastewater collection services, because that will be our comparison rate study. I am fine with employees receiving pay rates based on certifications acquired, which will allow the water superintendent and yourself to sort of guide employees to be more trained in water or more trained in wastewater as need be. I think that the pay scale is something that we have been discussing and kind of waiting on this information in the job description so that we can adjust. We've talked about breaking this out. So really, I mean, if at the end of the day, all you do is you take the wastewater and the water treatment job descriptions and you staple them together, at this point, I am fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what you're doing, correct?
Yes.
Cool. So if you want to clean them up and you want to make them look nice, I am all for that. I am sorry, this mic is on something today. I would just like to get this taken care of. And at this point, knowing what other communities are paying, knowing what we've discussed with these departments, to accept to take on this additional job responsibilities that they've been doing, we've kind of been kicking this down the road. I understand we've got a lot on the burners as a village right now. There's a lot of discussions going on. I do think that if it's one of those things that we don't have time to create and draft beautiful new job descriptions, that the two job descriptions simply become combined. And that we, sounds like you've already written the operator in training position, which was the one thing from the very beginning that we wanted to have discussions about that was sort of conflict. Council agreed it was a good position. I think if that's already drafted, I see no reason that we can't get these next meeting. I don't know how anybody else feels about that.
Yes.
I don't understand why Jamie's not more involved in writing these job descriptions. She's the one that works with them. She's the one that knows the jobs. Chris knows what's written on a piece of paper, but she's the supervisor out there that understands what the individuals do and what those jobs entail.
Because there was talk of it happening, mm-hmm. Has there been a meeting between the mayor, the administrator, and the water superintendent to go over these?
Yes.
And that was fruitful?
That's where the discussion of the collections and distribution came from in the first place, was that was where now all of a sudden it was, well, we need to have employees that specialize in water distribution and wastewater collections. I mean, the job descriptions I had put together were descriptions I had found with other communities that were looking for other water and wastewater employees, and I thought made sense. But I want to point out to council that Jamie, our water superintendent, has been involved in these conversations. And I have been getting your input on these job descriptions as well. So, but I mean, if you're asking about what, you know, the sort of relationship should be in a situation like this, well, it's in some sense as the village's personnel supervisor and in some sense the human resources director, yes, it is kind of my job to help put together these job descriptions so that way they read correctly. But I was also revising our job descriptions because the job descriptions we had on file for these employees were job descriptions from as far back as 2012.
And I do think that's important. I think there's a lot of documents in the village that over the many decades and many different administrators we've had have not been updated as we go. I guess we're just all looking for this to move forward in the sense that these job descriptions, in theory, should be three positions.
Four.
Operator in training, your operator one, your operator two, and your superintendent. So 4 to 5 jobs. And they don't necessarily need to fall beautifully into our pay scale as the way it is currently designed, because that is something council has been in discussions mm-hmm. about changing and allowing you to break down and change into a wastewater as its own pay scale, streets as their own pay scale, administration as their own pay scale, so that we can more aptly match with other communities in terms of what we're paying for these services rather than locking ourselves into very tight bands that we currently are in. So we're really just looking for these job descriptions so we can review and approve them. If you're finding other communities that run something similar, I don't see a reason that we can't pull a Kevin Heben and steal their job descriptions.
Well, to your point, Councilman Shearer, that's kind of what I've been doing is I've been kind of picking apart some of these other job descriptions from other communities that, you know, do have the funding or do have the ability to fund human resources departments or departments that or even employees that know how to develop these from scratch. So, and yes, because of the fact that I'm also not well versed in water and wastewater operations, it is difficult for someone from my background to understand what it takes to do the job and also understand what the job description entails. So it has been a little bit of a learning curve for me as well.
I agree. If there's a community roughly our size that does things that we do and they have job descriptions, that we steal them. I don't see the need to reinvent the wheel on this. If we want to break down extra positions or dictate that certain raise amounts are tied to certain learning levels, I think that you guys would be good with that as operators. I don't want to speak for you.
I like the compensation plan the way it is with the licensing, where you get $1 an hour or whatever per license.
Yep.
I think that's motivation.
So, Kevin, find me some job descriptions to steal.
Seize on it.
I have full faith that you can delegate the tedious items that are shortfalling your time and work together with our water superintendent to give this to us by July 21st. Can I move on? New business. We have a discussion over the firewall concrete quotes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. So as you guys received in your packets, as I kind of mentioned to you in our previous meeting, we did receive two quotes for concrete work. One is from John Gascon, LLC. This one was for $53,700. And then we had another one from Funk's Concrete LLC, and that total work was for $43,587. We have our fire chief, Jeremy Gillen, here in the audience here tonight to potentially be able to answer any questions about these quotes. Jeremy, did you want to come up?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is the time frame in which these bays can be down, inoperable?
The station bays, just as long as it needs to get done. I mean, they didn't really give me when they could start the project. You know, I didn't ask them. The Holmes Concrete Coal was fast setting concrete. The other one was fast setting. One was, he recommended 2 weeks at a time to not drive on them. The other guy with the fast setting, they said at least 24 hours. But obviously, as it gets colder, it's going to be problematic for the fire to be outside. But we're going to do it two at a time so we don't expose ourselves that bad. We have other places we can park some things, but we can't move everything out of there.
What's the major difference between the two quotes?
I don't know if it's just the one's a local company, the other guy, John Gaskins from Toledo. I don't know if their labor is that different. One possibility is one owns all their equipment, one would have to rent the stuff to do these bigger jobs. So there's more overhead for that person versus, I never thought of that, but someone brought that up to me as a possibility, so.
But they're both to do the same, exact same work?
Yeah, initially they weren't. One was $24,000, one was $34,000, and then I had them come back out and look at the whole thing because they were just giving me their opinion on what they thought needs to be done and not what actually would be the best there. So they basically, I had five different contractors I contacted and they came and looked at it. These were the only two that quoted it. So I don't know if the other ones were too busy or they looked at it and said they didn't want to do it. But so.
One of them has, the more expensive one has sealer in the concrete. That's a new product that will reduce your maintenance, yearly maintenance. The other one is fast setting concrete, which FS concrete is usable in 8 hours. But it's patch mix, not really designed for long-term concrete. I wouldn't recommend that.
So you're thinking the $53,000 one?
I'm just telling you what I know about these products. Mm-hmm.
Did we ever find out if they would sign the contract before before we do the stuff, or if they had to wait until?
I mean, based on what I had heard last time from Mayor Neighbor was that your township wanted to have all these repairs done, wanted a lot of the repairs done before they bought it.
I have not talked to it. Nobody's communicated with me.
And that's, I mean, I haven't heard any updates about that since, but that's been the impression I've been given.
I would like clarity for whoever our contact point is of when the purchase or sale is going to be signed. I mean, not that I think you guys are going to demand all this work get done and then not buy the building because you're looking to expand on it. I get that. But at the same time, I would like to not have a contract floating for the next 2 years. So,
can I suggest if council wants to choose one of these two today, that we can have an ordinance on the agenda, because it's going to need to be, you're going to have to approve a contract and you're going to have to approve an appropriation. So if we put it at least on the agenda for the next meeting, maybe Mayor Neighbor would have some update about the contract at that time. I mean, just because these things are going to, I mean, the prices are going to go up.
Yeah, they're not going down.
What's this add-on quote item with the gas gun? For 16.5, is that for the addition? You got pavement quote and an add-on quote.
Yeah, so I have the original one that came out. I gave the updated one to the administrator, so he just added on to this original one, which you can have this too. So
this is just an updated version?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's all the same thing. Just.
But yeah, so the copy that you gave me was the one that they got, so.
Yeah, he handwrote it, the other one was emailed.
Is there any kind of guarantee from either of these companies on their work? Like, do they say this will last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years?
So that's done in May.
2 days?
And this one's July.
There's nothing on this.
Right, that was June.
Okay.
Is it just the...
Things like that would normally be included in if we put this out for an official bid, correct?
It would, but if what Tony says is correct, if we're going to sell it, I don't want to sound crass, we don't care if the concrete caves in the next day.
That's a nice guy.
Speaking my mind.
That wasn't what I was thinking.
If you can find a contractor to guarantee their concrete, sign it.
Well, it's just We've always had such a hard time with York Township.
I'm not disagreeing what you're saying. I'm just saying, if they're going to buy it.
Yeah, if they're going to buy it, then they should let us, you know, say, okay, we're going to buy it as soon as this is done. I don't
put
know.
Put that in the contract.
Get it done, and then they say, oh, well, we're not going to buy it now.
I totally agree.
You know, contingency.
That's right. Usually in the private sector, the seller doesn't do this work. It's the buyer that does right. the work.
We would supply the funds with the sale.
Mm-hmm. So. Or we could just wait till the next council meeting. I don't know if you want to, if you're trying to go three readings on this, just to start that process. But
well, so we just put on the agenda just for discussion. I mean,
they have their next meeting on Wednesday. I wasn't at the last two due to we had a fire one night and I was on vacation for the other one. So I don't know if they actually talked about any of this the last month. I didn't see the actual contract, so I can't really talk about it. Personally, but.
You want to put a bug in somebody's ear for us, and we'll put some bugs in ears on our side, and we'll see if we can't get people in touch that need to talk.
As long as we have another call that gets interrupted, I'll be at that meeting on Wednesday night, so. Or it's that afternoon, so.
Well, I guess.
If we sell the building, we're only selling it for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As long as we're not selling the building, and they're basically leasing it for us, they pay us $1,500 a quarter, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
so only out a dollar.
And we can't increase their rent unless they agree to the rent
increase. And I'm not asking about increasing it, but the longer they put it off, the more it costs them. Mm-hmm. And the more money we're getting back from them, if you think about it in those terms.
And do we have to go through reads? Could we do an emergency?
Sure, you can do an emergency.
Because I feel like we've been talking about it for a while now.
Any further discussion?
Do we need to make a decision on which one we like?
You could wait and do the emergency. That's fine.
Okay.
So I don't know how long.
But you know what? You have to know what amount to put in the ordinance. Mm-hmm.
So.
The sealant?
Yeah, we want to make sure we're comparing apples to apples with
right.
service and product to give everybody at least a fair shot to bid without having engineered drawings. Somebody needs to represent that, right?
I can
do that. Is it the sealant that's the main thing that's?
No, it's just, it's definitely on this quote, but not on the other.
Okay.
None of it is like polished. The inside of the station might have something on it, but the outside is concrete, so.
Yeah, you should have a trowel finish floor and a broom finish outside. Yeah. Outside concrete should be sealed. If not internally, okay. Annually, semi-annually, or you will have degradation and it will deteriorate.
The
so
main,
that's
the main
factor.
Issue they both pointed out was the, where the doors come down, there's metal stripes in it and that over, it just,
corrosion.
Yeah, popped it out and started the process, so that won't be in the new.
Rubber won't tear that up.
Yeah,
it's not necessary. If you had track equipment, then you need it.
Yeah.
And this box is only, that estimate is only good for 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's up, we're already 30 days out.
Living on that one, that's the updated one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
This one's 6.5.
6.525. That's what I got in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say it was only good for 30 days either.
That's not Funk's.
No, I just said that.
Oh, okay.
I can have a little screen to update their things to
you guys. Yeah, just make sure that one's not fast seal. Or fast setting, I'm sorry.
Unless you need to access that bay within 24 hours, I wouldn't recommend a fast set.
Well, initially they were saying 30 days. We can't do 30 days at a time unless we start it right when the weather breaks in the spring. So.
You should have 75% of your strength in the first 7 to 10 days on a normal mix. But once they walk away, the use is on the owner.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to police you from using it.
Yeah.
And I just want to, I want to ask this, I'm sure the answer is no, but I'm gonna voice it and put it on record somewhere. A decision to go with one or the other of these is not going to affect the decision to purchase the building or not, correct? The fire department doesn't have a favorite that they were, okay.
No, we definitely don't, so.
It's kind of just a weird position for us to select the vendor to do it, for them to us immediately sell the building to you. So I just want to make sure that there's not, they went with this and we're going to be unhappy about it and complain about it. So as long as you're happy with the options you're presenting us to choose from. I'm good with throwing this on the agenda for next week for discussion. If we get updated kinda or updated bids from you to verify the prices are still good, that'd be great.
Thank you.
We have a discussion for the water and sewer service agreement.
So as you guys have been provided in as part of your packet was a summary of the situation for why we are having this discussion tonight, if there is really any discussion. So, but to give you a little bit of background anyways, for the sake of conversation, so the village currently has two ordinances on the books, one for water and one for wastewater, that simply states that when you agree to apply for water or wastewater service, especially when you're outside the village limits, you're essentially agreeing that upon contingency, you would be annexed into the village. The water service has been on the books since 1996. The wastewater service has been on the books since 2008. We currently have a resident of York Township who is currently receiving water service from the village and is looking to potentially tap into a new sewer line that's going to be put in for another resident of York Township just off of 7-2. They have been made clear that they are contingent because behind their backyard is the property that Delta Acres owns that was annexed into the village. And they have, and I had just told them that I would speak to council about seeing what their thoughts are on this idea of this individual now being brought into the village. But what I just wanted to point out to council too is that by law, by our codes, that if they are receiving water and wastewater service from the village and they are also contingent to the village, there's basically no reason why they can't be annexed into the village. So basically my recommendation to council is that whether it's we write a letter to him or we just make it spoken that resident will become a new resident of the village of Delta.
So currently by way of ordinance, they can be brought into the annexation, but we would have to waive it otherwise.
I believe.
Yeah, you would have to override the ordinance.
There's no action taken by us unless you want to appeal it.
I mean, if you really wanted to choose that this resident would be in the village, yes, you would have to override the ordinance, and that person would be not having to pay outside water and sewer rates. But like I said, based on the fact that they're contingent to the village based on because the Delta Acres, one of the Delta Acres properties is right up on their property line, they're already receiving water service from the village, and they're not looking to receive wastewater service from the village. I mean, there's really no reason why they can't be a resident of the village.
So we need to send them a welcome letter?
I mean, you could send them a welcome letter if you want. I was just basically getting confirmation that that's how you felt.
And we've had, the village, acting as the village, have had discussions with this individual.
Yes. Jamie, our water superintendent, has had multiple conversations with this gentleman who lives at that property. I have been told that at least one previous administrator has had a conversation with that individual in the past, and they have been made clear by Fulton County that if they were to receive wastewater service from the village, then they would definitely be annexed into the village. Now, the question if they should have been annexed into the village in the first place because they were receiving water service, that would be a question for Mr. Eben, because I'm not sure how that would have worked. And that would have potentially caused more issues than probably what we want to deal with right now. So this really wasn't more of a council was going to just vote. It was more of a matter of letting council know that this was going to potentially happen.
So he's saying he's fine paying the outside village rates as long as he's not annexed into the village.
Yes, that is correct.
The problem is we have an ordinance that says
right. But she should have been doing this entire time.
Correct. Well, it sounds to me like it's just because of the Delta Acres came in that
got it.
So if they opt not to tie into the sewer line, will we just continue this agreement the way it has been?
Yeah, but he would also have to, because I've been told that he is now at the point where he either has to tap into the village's wastewater service or he's got to pay for a new septic tank. That's where he's kind of at the predicament. And he was actually, and from what I was told, was that he actually qualified for a grant through the health department to actually help pay for that new sewer line that was going to go in, that the other residents across the street from him were going to tie, that were going to lay down, and he was going to tie into that sewer line. And actually it would have helped, and actually would help his neighbors help pay for that sewer line. But as I have been told by him personally, is that he would rather pay for a new septic tank than be annexed into the village. Now, I have been told a couple of I don't know if you want to call them reasons, theories, hypotheses as to why he doesn't want to tie in. But I heard everything from, I can't speak on his behalf, so I won't say on record why he doesn't want to tie in, but I have been told he has his personal reasons as to why.
So he wouldn't be grandfathered. That couldn't happen.
Now, these other two properties south of him, are they in the village?
No. But those properties would be contingent or contiguous if he were to be annexed into the village. And in fact, the neighbors across the street would also potentially be contiguous as well. But the neighbors that are looking to put in that new sewer line, they already signed off on agreements that they have no problem being annexed into the village.
To the south?
No, to the west.
We had discussions with any of the other neighbors that would end up being contiguous. If we're doing annexation in the first place, if there's interest in those all being one lumped annexation, or have we not had any discussions with those neighbors?
Now, I personally have not had any discussions with those neighbors. I'm not sure if previous administrators have had conversations with those residents in the past. I do know that there's one resident in the area that owns. At least one parcel to the south of the Kellers that did not want to be annexed into the village.
There's no residency there.
That's my point. So is that they did not want to be annexed into the village. So I'm not entirely sure how many of those residents there in that portion of your township do or do not want to be annexed into the village. But the Kellers at least understood that if they were to agree to wastewater service to the village, then they would be annexed in upon contingency.
And so I get just for clarity, so that was told to them, they know if they get wastewater, they're in.
Yeah, to the Kellers, yes, and to the Tippies, yes. I've had at least one phone call with Mr. Tippy personally.
Okay, so I guess my question is, what was the decision there from the Kellers? Was it, yes, that's fine, do it, or I'm not going to hook into that wastewater, and I'm not going to, because that's what we're talking about, right, is Tim?
No, what the Kellers agreed is, so the situation with the Kellers is that they're looking to build a new house on their property.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same option that they could either put in a new septic tank, or they could potentially tie into the village's sewer line, or this village's sewer, as long as they put in the new sewer line that runs underneath their house, that runs through their house. And the Kellers decided that they wanted to tap into the village's wastewater. And they filled out the paperwork. They have filled out the agreement that upon contingency, they would be annexed into the village. And as I stated before, the Tippies have stayed, they had spoken to the Kellers and said that, well, if you guys are willing to pay for the money to put into the sewer line, we want to tap into that sewer line. And I don't know if they reached out to Fulton County or they found out, but Fulton County had said that they could offer them a grant to help pay for that sewer line if they were to tie in, or if not, then they would have to pay, the Tippies would have to pay for a new septic tank. And again, the Tippies were informed that if they were to receive wastewater service from the village, they would be annexed into the village, because again, the Delta Acres property sits right behind their backyard. And that's where we go back to, and this is where we come full circle, is now you've got a resident who has been told in multiple ways that they would be annexed into the village, who do not want to be annexed into the village. But at the very least, this was being brought to council's attention because I had spoken to Mr. Tippy and had told him that I would bring this to the council's attention, at the very least, to see if you guys feel the same way as based on our current codes. And because, I mean, as of right now, we could basically tell him that he's annexed into the village. But
am I reading this wrong, or aren't we creating a donut if we don't annex him in?
Not from the north.
From the south, though.
Because the new
residency is contingent from the west.
Right.
Yep. And unless this guy doesn't tie into the sewer line, none of those houses are contingent from the north.
That would create a donut. So we could, you can't.
But does the Delta of the Acres property bump to that road from the north?
The donut
all
is going to be
properties in a donut.
The donut's going to be the two properties to the south of
yep.
the cities.
That would be the donut that we can't create.
Okay. So he's got to go talk real nice to his neighbors, because I don't want to hear about it.
So I guess really what I'm just asking to get a standpoint from council is, based on what I provided to you, based on our current codified ordinances, that the Tippy property would be annexed into the village based on our current codified ordinances and based on contingency, do you believe that is fair, and do you believe that we should continue forward with him being annexed into the village? Or if you don't, then are you more in favor of revising our codified ordinances to where we would have to meet a new set of restrictions for individuals who want to receive village services but don't want to be in the village?
So if he ties in, he's got to come in. If he does it, if he makes a septic tank, then he don't have to, right?
No, he would already have to tie in right now because he's receiving water. It's water and sewer.
And that's where I was actually, and that's where Mr. Heben and I had a discussion about previously, because from what I've gathered with the Tippy household is that they were receiving water from the village before the annexation for water was ever put as an ordinance in the village. And that's
before
what I was
96.
Asking.
Before 96.
Are all these residents receiving water?
I would have to, I haven't checked to see,
I'm
to see if all those individuals are receiving water, but
yes.
I know the only ones we're going to have that I know don't want to get in is the last house.
$7,850, is that the one you're looking at?
It's too small.
One with the barn?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only gave a printout of the GIS map of the properties that were around that.
So we can talk about it till blue in the face. If you put it on the agenda, we'll hear from all of them. How far does our obligation to County Road 7-2 extend should we annex these properties?
Well, basically, where our current map lies right now is, well, with those properties that are to the east across from Delta Acres, it's mostly like Panther Estates, and I think a lot of those houses that are right over there, those are in the village limits. With Delta Acres being in the village limits, you've got a good, I mean, if you get those other properties there nearby the village limits already and Delta Acres annexed into the village, I mean, there's a pretty good portion of County Road Age on the east side that have been annexed into the village, or would be annexed into the village.
Why do we have an outside rate if they have to be annexed?
So that was based on the contingency. It was, if you were contingent to the village to where you could be annexed, then you would be receiving outside rates. Now, which kind of pegged the question of, with these households that were already paying outside rates, and the debate of if they should have been annexed into the village years ago. And for that, I don't really have an answer to that question.
Well, I think it's like Chad said, let's put it on the agenda for next month and for the next meeting, and we'll have all kinds of people there to explain why they don't want to be in the village or why they do want to be in the village.
Okay, so then do you guys want to have a motion made to have this continued as a discussion for the next council meeting and then invite these residents that live out in that part of York Township to be part of that discussion?
I think having the residents that would be in the donut that would be forcibly annexed in as a result, at a minimum, should be here for that discussion or should be notified that this is something that is occurring. Because it is not our choice to force them in as a donut, that is just Ohio. So if this is something that someone else is causing their property to be annexed into the village, I think they should be given a heads up as a courtesy from the village.
Any further discussion? Moving on to ordinance 23-2025. You read the title, please.
Ordinance 23-2025 is an ordinance certifying to the county auditor an assessment and lien upon certain property in the village of Delta, and it declares an emergency.
Motion to suspend.
On the table for discussion.
Why is it an emergency?
I was told these have to be to the auditor in July. So,
if we have another one in,
they'll have to wait till the next
July.
Yeah, is that right, Kevin?
You could always give it a first reading and then a second reading and pass it as an emergency at our next meeting in July. But if we wait and it then it won't go on the tax duplicate. If it goes three readings and is not an emergency, then it won't be on the tax duplicate until 2027.
I'm going to have, I believe, some other liens.
We're looking at it, yeah, depending on whether we can do it or not.
How is this ordinance not continuous? Why do we have to do it every year?
Because if you look at it, so this is to cut grass. So what happens is if Chief Chappell finds grass that needs to be cut, he engages somebody that goes out there and cuts it and then sends a bill to the village, and then we pay it, mm-hmm. and then it goes on their tax duplicate. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same thing each year. Sometimes we may have 10 of these people, sometimes we may just have one.
So right. My point is, do we not already have an ordinance in effect that enforces that?
It does. But the ordinance, in order for us to put it on the tax duplicate, we can't just do that. The auditor has to do it.
And they require.
Yeah, so this.
Understood. We're certifying the auditor to do so.
Right.
Yep.
I'll second it.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Emily?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
I have a motion to make it final on its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Emily?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Any questions related to today's council meeting?
I have a question.
Yes, Jamie?
Okay. I am requesting confirmation that we will either receive retro pay for the time that we've been out there, or I'm requesting that we stop going down there and operating the facility until everything is finalized.
I will make a recommendation that back pay be initiated to the day water treatment took over the wastewater facility job duties in as a whole.
Okay. Second.
Okay. I got a question. What rate did you pay?
The 7% increase.
That we approved a while ago, right?
I don't agree with any amount to talk about any amount at this time until we get the job descriptions. I'm sorry. There was too much background. I wouldn't necessarily agree to 7%. I don't know that that was agreed upon. It was discussed. But until we get the job descriptions and we set the pay grade, I just think we need to assure the employees that they will get back paid, whatever, whether it's 7% or 5%, whatever we come up with.
We did talk about it before on record, right? Because I feel like this is Groundhog Day. Like, I feel like we approved it once, something. I'd have to, like, go back and listen, but I feel like it's been done before.
I agree.
But there's some.
And I stated prior that I think we should retro pay.
But there's some. We did this before. We set up a job, gave individuals raises, did away with the job, and they kept the raises. So you're going to give them another raise. We're going to set up another job and give them another raise. But you're not giving it for everybody. I guess I don't think it's right.
We all agree that individuals taking on extra responsibilities, not part of the job descriptions, deserve more money, correct? Whether that's 1, 12, 500%, whatever the number. If you are taking on extra responsibilities, you should be paid more. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. So, once we have job descriptions, as Lynn said, I do not think we should put dollars to donuts. We have discussed many things. This has been Groundhog Day into the ground. But once we have job descriptions, we will put pen to paper on an actual dollar amount. I believe council is in agreement that, I shouldn't even say that. There has been discussion of retro pay that has been approved by several members of this body. I do not believe that these employees should have been working for the past 5 months for free. They are filling a role in our village and deserve to be compensated as such. And again, this is one of those reasons why I'm pushing for those job descriptions to get done so we can avoid this feeling of uncertainty that they are currently experiencing. So next week, gonna be a long one. Be ready.
Have we kept track of who's working down there then, or do we just give?
Wages are currently being paid out of both enterprises, so there is a record of who has been paid out of what enterprise, correct?
We pay them where they work from.
All And I'm sorry that it's going to be a lot of backlog pay.
I'm waiting for you guys to give them a bonus.
If we get rough
amount for what they've done extra, but that's just my opinion.
That's a thought. That's certainly a thought for the office staff. The longer we drag this out, the more work it is on the office staff as well. It is not a simple backdating payroll event for them. So that is another reason not to let this linger.
Well, I gotta go back and change all of my reports.
Any more questions?
I think you had a motion in a second. Did you not?
I do.
Yes.
So Frank?
Clarify. It's what you just said. Okay.
Yes.
No dollar amount.
Just that we pay retro pay.
For retro pay.
Yes. For retro pay.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demline?
Abstain.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Need a motion to enter an executive session for economic development. So I revise code 121.22G8.
I'll move as recommended.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunaway?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we expecting action coming out of this?
No.
No action expected.
I'll invite the administrator and our law director. You guys can come in.
How about the law department?
7:03 p.m.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Devlin?
Right. You look better.
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Now, is there anything else?
Questions related to today's proceedings?
I got Mr.
Dawson.
They have the cement, or not the cement, they got the forms for the cement down the cemetery. Do you know when that's going to be poured?
It's done.
It's not done.
Are you talking about the footers?
The footers for the plots.
Yeah.
They did that since May.
I was told by our street superintendent that they were working on them.
And they said they got all the boards formed, but they just don't have no cement yet.
I think he called last week to do it, and they couldn't get a truck out here, so he was going to call again this week. Oh. Is what I think he said.
Okay.
Quit calling the concrete cement.
That's a little personal pitch. Say all the cake flour.
Our next regular meeting will be scheduled for July 21st, 2025 at 5:30 here in Memorial Hall. I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
She heard him. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Dawson?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demline?
Yes.